from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Week two of the preseason for the Bills and the Steelers tomorrow night here on The Fan Rochester. Coverage starts at 5 o'clock. And to talk a little bit more about the matchup and the Pittsburgh Steelers, we welcome in Steelers reporter for ESPN NFL Nation. It's our pal Brooke Pryor. Brooke, it's great having you on with us. Thanks for making some time. And I want to talk a little bit about yesterday's joint practice first and foremost with you. What was your vibe from practice? Everybody come out unscathed? Any takeaways that you had from the Bills and the Steelers' time together on the practice field?
Yeah, you know, they did come out unscathed, which I guess shouldn't be too surprising because I think both teams came into that with their head coaches being pretty firm to not fight. There were a couple little scuffles, the most significant one being after Justin Fields had a pass batted down, and I believe the Bills player flexed a little bit after the play, and the Steelers offense took exception to that. But, I mean, this was my first joint practice that I've covered because this is the Steelers' first joint practice in 8 years.
Wow.
I believe. Yeah, so it was weird to watch. Like, I barely saw the Steelers' defense because I was watching the Steelers' offense the whole time. I think that Russell Wilson looked the best he has, at least throwing-wise. There was a team period, I believe he started out 4-for-4 in that passing. And Justin Fields wasn't as accurate yesterday. I saw some times where he looked like he had a bit of indecision in where he wanted to go with the ball. Saw him working through his progressions and not finding anything or not making the read in the right time, which that's something that he's been knocked for before. But he did have a read option touchdown in 7 shots and then had, I think, like a 40-yard touchdown in the 2-minute drill. But I don't think the Bills' defense was playing as hard as they normally would in a game with that run. I think it went well for both sides, but it was interesting that the Steelers did let Justin Fields get quite a bit of playing time, or did let Russell Wilson get quite a bit of playing time, and they've been, you know, slowly ramping him up since that calf injury.
Brooke, how many times in the last 3 weeks have you been asked about Brandon Ayuk?
The limit does not exist. It's a popular question, and there is still no answer. The update is there is no update.
Is there any, I mean, is there truth to the report that the framework exists for the two teams to make a deal, but it's really up to Ayuk to get it done and the Niners to finally just pull the trigger on that? I mean, is optimism fading for Brandon and Ayuk to Pittsburgh, I guess is what I'm wondering.
You know, it's tough to say. I think the longer this goes on, the more likely it is that Ayuk stays in San Francisco. It feels like the 49ers and the Steelers are, well, it feels like between the 49ers and Ayuk, they're waiting for somebody to blink. Ayuk, the sense I get is that he wants to stay in San Francisco. San Francisco wants to keep Ayuk, but Ayuk wants to make more money than they're offering him. He's from out that way. He's from Reno. That's not super far from the Bay Area. I believe he bought a house there last year. His family's out there. I get the sense that that's where he wants to be, but the money has to be right or right enough for him to accept. And I just get the sense at this point, these guys are really stubborn. They want what they want, things can change. They change very quickly, especially in this situation. It feels like they've changed directions 5 different times in the last week or in the last 2 weeks. But I still think this ends with Ayuk staying in San Francisco.
To what degree has this been a distraction from this standpoint, Brooke? Because I don't know what's true and what's not, but there's all these rumors, speculation that George Pickens is involved in this deal, or maybe it's Brett Freiermuth. How is the team dealing with it? Is it a distraction at all?
You know, I don't think it's a distraction because, from what I've been told, the Steelers have been very firm with the 49ers that any trade would absolutely not involve a player. It would be just draft capital, which is why I think that the trade doesn't make sense from the 49ers' perspective, because if they were only going to get draft capital, why was this deal not done back around the time of the draft when they could have easily flipped that and gotten a receiver in the draft, another receiver in the draft? Instead, they'd probably have to get a third team involved if they wanted to get a tangible player acquisition in return. So from that perspective, I don't think the team is worried about, like, or is distracted about, like, oh man, could we be losing somebody, that sort of thing. But I do think, I mean, Van Jefferson, to his credit, has been interviewed, I think, every day after practice for the last week, and he has answered every question. He's been so patient. But he's gotten a lot of, you know, what do you think about the Steelers maybe trying to trade for Ayuk? Does that add motivation to you? Does that discourage you? Because at this point, Van Jefferson is the Steelers' number two receiver. I think he's looked better than expected through camp. But, I mean, it's got to be frustrating when you're that guy getting asked, like, hey, do you think the team's going to bring in your replacement? It's been talked about a lot. You know, do you think that they don't have faith in you? But I think, by and large, the Steelers are able to insulate themselves from it because they go away to camp. Granted, they're now back in Pittsburgh, but for at least the last month, they've been in a nice little bubble in Latrobe, but it's easier to shut some of that noise out. So I'm interested to see how much longer this drags on and if this does anything to these guys before it resolves in this kind of interim between training camp and the regular season starting.
Brooke Pryor covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for ESPN's NFL Nation. She joins us now in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. Brooke, if I give the Steelers credit for anything this offseason, they took a quarterback room that wasn't very productive last year and completely flipped it for next to zero investment. There's really no risk involved, just a slight investment in cash for Fields and for Russell Wilson. So my question is, how do the two look? I mean, does, you know, we've heard Russell is going to be the starter. We've never really heard Mike Tomlin back down from that. But we also know Justin Fields has designs on getting on the field. The injury early in camp to Russell's calf, and it seems like we're going to see him a little bit tomorrow night. Break down the quarterback competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is one where Russell Wilson will start week one. But the better that Justin Fields looks in, you know, training camp in the preseason and these next couple practices, the smaller Russell Wilson's margin for error is, because the Steelers want to ride with the veteran out of the gate. It's much easier to go from Russell Wilson to Justin Fields than Fields to Russell Wilson if things don't shake out well with Fields from the get-go. But I do think that Fields is playing more comfortably in this system maybe than he was the last 2 years in Chicago. And a big reason for that is because the Steelers told him, when it comes to his throwing base in the shotgun, do what feels natural. And for him, that means starting with his right foot forward before they snap the ball, before the center snaps the ball, and then when he receives the snap, then flip to lead with his left foot. And that's what he did at Ohio State. That's what he did his first year in Chicago. And then Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus flip-flopped it for his last 2 years in Chicago, and that created that extra half second of thinking of processing before he went through his reads, because it just wasn't natural. And he started to go back to his natural stance beginning in January with his personal quarterback's coach. When he got to Pittsburgh, they said, hey, close your eyes. What feels natural? Let's do that. And because of that, I think that he just has more trust with this staff. It's allowed him to play in a more natural way and just, I think, fit in more seamlessly to what's going on, adapt faster. And that's led to him making some pretty impressive plays in camp, not only with his arm, but with his legs too. I mean, he is as good as advertised in terms of his big play ability, the scrambles, the runs, the designed runs, all of that's great. The decision-making in terms of going through the reads and things like that, I need to see in a game more, but I think that he has looked good, but that also is not going to change the Steelers' mind for week one, because they've also long had a stance of, if you are the starter, you're not going to lose your position because of injury. If you're the starter, you get hurt, you go out. When you come back, you regain your spot until someone else takes it, or until your performance means that you're going to be supplanted. But I think that Russell Wilson has been a pro through this calf injury, through coming back very, very slowly. He went vertical a lot in practice yesterday, showed off that moon ball. Assistant GM Andy Weidel called it a majestic moon ball. And I think adds a wrinkle that this offense didn't necessarily have with Kenny Pickett. The vertical game just wasn't there in the same way. So I think that this quarterback room is very different from what it was. At this point, I think that it's better. I think that the floor is higher. But I'm really interested to see Wilson get out there. I know it's a preseason game, but just to see what that timing's like, because you can see a guy look like he's thriving during training camp, and then it all goes off the rails as soon as the regular season starts. So there's still a lot to be determined.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Lot new there in Pittsburgh. Brooke Pryor, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, our guest here in the sports bar. Brooke, one of the new things, and I'm going to admit my bias here because it's a little warped, because in fantasy football, why is Arthur Smith not running Bijan Robinson? We would get all upset. But like, how what's the adjustment here been with Arthur Smith? What is going to be the identity of this offense? How is Arthur Smith's offense going over with the Steeler fan base? I guess, by comparison, because every Steeler fan I kind of talked to wasn't too happy with Matt Canada last year.
Yeah, by comparison, there is no comparison. I think that it's a night and day difference, because whoever the offensive coordinator is, it's not Matt Canada. I do think the fan base was hoping for, you know, someone from a Kyle Shanahan tree, a Kubiak tree, something that felt more innovative than what Arthur Smith was doing, or at least something was maybe more exciting, a stronger passing game. But Arthur Smith is a run-first guy, a lot of play action, but everything is flowing through the trenches, which I think actually fits the identity of the Steelers organization better than some of the West Coast offenses. And in this case, it's not just about the running backs he has. It's about how much better the offensive line should be. Zach Frazier's a rookie. He's looked really good. Seems like he should get an opportunity to play more with the ones because Nate Herbig missed some of practice the other day, is kind of banged up. And he, I mean, is a really tough center. They also drafted Troy Faitano to be right tackle, but he is now banged up with a knee injury. But they've really spent a lot of resources to make this offensive line better, which should then in turn help the run game open up a little bit more. The run game with the backups looked pretty good in week one. I think they had over 100 yards on the ground, which is better than it was last year. I like how Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren kind of balance each other out. But I would also keep an eye on Cordarrelle Patterson. He does a little bit of everything, and they have used him in this offense in seven shots, which is their lineup from the two-yard line. They've used him as a receiver, as a running back. He's done kind of whatever they need him to. So I'm interested to see how that translates to the regular season with the regular offense. But I think that this run game is more multiple and versatile than it has been in the last couple of years under Matt Canada.
And Brooke, on the defensive side of the ball, Terrell Austin's got it feels like a little bit of an embarrassment of riches. I'm kind of jealous. I mean, you've got stars at all three levels of the defense with Watt and Hayward on the line, and now the you know, Patrick Queen, sneaky good addition to a linebacking core that really needed it. And then, of course, on the back end, Minka Fitzpatrick, Joey Porter Jr. continues to emerge. Tell us a little bit about how that defense is shaping up here and your projection for them here come week one.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The defense does, you list out all those names, and it's like, my goodness, could they pack any more star power in one defense? And that's, you know, not even mentioning Alex Highsmith opposite of T.J. Watt, who's been an under-the-radar but really solid edge rusher. I also think the safety position is in a much better spot than they finished with last year when injuries really took a toll because they added Deshaun Elliott, who has been a really interesting addition. And then Beanie Bishop is a name that I would watch. He's an undrafted rookie. Right now is in, to borrow Mike Tomlin's favorite phrase, pole position, to be the starting nickelback with some injuries that have happened, but he, I think, has really stepped up early and looks like he'll be a playmaker in a spot that the Steelers haven't had a consistent one in the last couple of years. But, you know, up front, too, I would keep an eye on Keanu Benton. He stepped up big time last year when Cam Hayward went down with an injury early because that is a group that is aging. Cam Hayward's getting older. Larry Ogunjobi has had injury issues, but Mon Adams has had a good camp. So is Keanu Benton. I think that this defense as a whole is deeper than last year, but corner, I would keep an eye on it. Yes, they traded for Dante Jackson. He's been a pretty well-rounded corner, but Joey Porter Jr. has not flashed the way that he did last year in camp. Mm. And it feels like he could be hitting a sophomore slump, but I don't want to be the one to challenge a Porter because Joey Porter is, you know, his dad, fearless, game-wrecking guy. I don't want to have, like, Papa Bear turn on me, but I think that Joey Porter Jr. could have some struggles getting started this season if he doesn't kind of turn things around from camp.
Yeah, Brooke Pryor, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Danger, before we got in, I was talking to Brooke off air, just wishing her good luck tomorrow night because I don't want Brooke and everybody else on both the Bills and Steelers beat working past midnight should the game go that long. And the news today from Buffalo, which kind of cued us in here. Wait a second. Sean McDermott says, well, we'll play the starters, but it's weather dependent. Like, uh-oh. Brooke, how good is your phone when it comes to getting a good weather app for tomorrow night?
You know, as long as Apple keeps updating that information, it's been pretty accurate here. I will be refreshing it constantly and also bringing a raincoat, an umbrella, maybe rain boots just in case. I think there's supposed to be, scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. So hopefully we can at least get through the first half. And then I can't imagine people from any side would complain if it got called after a half. Maybe the guys that are trying to make the roster who would like the opportunity to get in the game. But I know from the press box there would be no complaints.
Brooke, I can't help but look ahead to the regular season and think about what lies ahead for Pittsburgh. When you look at their schedule, it feels like the NFL did them a pretty decent solid here, or I guess depending on your point of view, really want to see Pittsburgh not fall apart early in the season, because you don't have a divisional opponent on your schedule in Pittsburgh until week 11 when you host the Ravens, and then you've got division heavy down the stretch. Is it fair to think that the Steelers could get off to a really, really hot start before the trials of a season kind of catch up to them towards the end of the season, and maybe a little bit of a late season collapse? What's your thought on the schedule as how it lays out for the Steelers?
You know, I think one thing that's helped the Steelers in the last couple of years is they have had an early division game against teams that got hot later on. I think it was a couple of years ago they beat the Bengals in week one with Mitch Trubisky, and I think that was a game that T.J. Watt got hurt in and then was done for half the season. But that game ended up having a huge difference in them trying to make the playoffs there at the end. I think that the Steelers, against divisional opponents at least, were able to catch some teams by surprise early in the season before everybody hit their stride. So I do think that from a Steelers perspective, it stinks to get all of your division opponents backloaded when injuries are starting to pile up, when other teams are also hitting their groove, and the Steelers have had these late season slumps before they hit the final like 3-4 games of the season. Sometimes they kind of bottom out there around weeks 12, 13, and they just can't afford to do that this year. They have had some rocky starts the last couple of years. The offense hasn't been able to gel. The offensive line hasn't been together. The quarterbacks are all over the place. So my takeaway looking at the schedule is that the Steelers kind of have to get off to a fast start to be able to withstand injuries, things like that, that are popping up late in the season when those games really, really matter. Like, they have no wiggle room after the bye week. So that just, I think, adds to the pressure of it. But maybe that's good. Maybe, you know, by that point, Justin Fields is starting, or maybe by that point, Russell Wilson has really solidified himself as a trustworthy QB1, and there aren't the questions every week the way that there have been in years past. But it's going to be really interesting, and it's definitely going to mean that, I mean, I already was going to tune into the Hard Knocks AFC North season later this year, but now most of the Steelers' games are AFC North opponents late in that year, so I think it just makes that series even more interesting.
Brooke Pryor, Pryor Knowledge, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Brooke, what can our listeners go check out as we read up on tomorrow night's game?
As I mentioned, the stuff about Justin Fields' footwork, I have a piece up on ESPN.com kind of going into the why and the why it's significant part of just what this footwork means and why Justin Fields is feeling more confident in Pittsburgh. So that is on the website right now.
Brooke, appreciate the time, and have a good time. Try to stay dry tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Brooke. There's Brooke Pryor covering the Steelers for ESPN's NFL Nation. Week 11, they host Baltimore. Week 12, at Cleveland. 13, at Cincinnati.
Wow.
14, against Cleveland. 15, at Philadelphia. Week 16, at Baltimore. Week 17, Christmas, they host the Chiefs, and they wrap the season hosting the Bengals in week 18. If you're getting if you're getting two wins down the stretch, I think that's a success. You need to start the season. If you're Pittsburgh, you need 8 wins. At least 8 wins. I mean, I had to take, this is going to be Mike Tomlin's first losing season. I can't imagine them getting through that gauntlet at the end of the season.
All right, I'm gonna put something out here for every Steeler fan that could give you some optimism, because what you said, it sounds brutal. But tell me, like, another athlete that has had this story arc. You're 1 win away from the Hall of Fame. Check that. You're 1 yard away from the Hall of Fame. 1 yard. If they hand the ball off, you win back-to-back Super Bowls. Russell Wilson is in the Hall of Fame. He, although he's never gotten an MVP candidate, up until that final year in Seattle, we're all saying he's one of the best in the game. And then what happened? It just because he had a terrible head coach in Hackett and even worth one? Or was it Russ? Did the skills just go off a cliff? What was it? Like, can there be a redemption story for Russell? I hear what Brooke is saying, that the hope is Justin Fields. He can figure it out. And that Fields is actually the guy with a higher ceiling. But what happened to Russell Wilson here?
I don't like either of them, Gene. I don't think either of them are.
No, statistically, they're both terrible.
They're not good.
No.
They're not good quarterbacks. And to answer your question, what happened to Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson happened to Russell Wilson. Let Russ cook. Pete Carroll was right. Pete Carroll knew how to manage him and get the most out of that team with Russell Wilson's deficiencies masked by a great run game. As soon as they let Russ cook, everything fell apart in Seattle. And you can't tell me that Sean Payton isn't a good enough coach for Russell Wilson. It couldn't work with Sean Payton. I give Tomlin a lot of credit. He's a good head coach. We mentioned it. He's never had a losing season. I'm not sure if you've heard that before or not, but yeah, it's actually true that Tomlin has never had a losing season as Steelers head coach. So he's a good coach, and you would think a good coach could get something out of a guy like Russell Wilson if Russell Wilson can get out of Russell Wilson's way.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, he was second worst last year in getting rid of the ball. It was over 3 seconds.
And like, Fields wasn't much better.
No. So, but the one word out of Brooks' interview there you can pull out, moonball. Yeah, that was Russ at his peak in Seattle, where he would throw that ball and you wouldn't be on the screen. Then all of a sudden, boop, it lands in the Lockett or Metcalf or one of those. Like, is that an element that the Steelers can kind of live more big plays?
Look, I like the idea that they recognized our quarterback room sucks last year. They had horrible quarterback play from Pickett, Rudolph, Trubisky. It was bad.
Pickett is so bad, he might be the number 3 in Philadelphia.
It's bad, right? Yeah. So where I'll give them credit is they flipped that room with minimal risk and investment, and you've got some names to work with. I just don't know that I trust either of those names. And, you know, having watched Justin Fields in Chicago, he's athletic and he can run past anybody. But, and you heard Brooke kind of mention it, can he read a defense? Can he make the right read? Can he pull the trigger? I didn't see enough of it in Chicago, obviously.
To me, it feels like, okay, and the Bills also are going on the cheap, by and large, at the wide receiver position, hoping something sticks.
You have George Pickens and?
No, I'm saying the Bills wide receivers. Oh. Yeah, like I'm just comparing the two, the Steeler quarterback room where you say give them credit. No, like give them credit they did it cheap?
Mm.
No, you got to make that investment. And maybe the investment is actually come next year in the draft. Try again here.
Possibly. Really appreciate Brooke giving us a little insight here into the Bills' opponent tomorrow night. Again, 5 o'clock, our coverage begins with pregame as the Steelers host the Bills week 2 of the preseason kickoff just after 7 o'clock on The Fan Rochester. Next in the sports bar, I'm ready to make a declaration, Gino. It's not hot uniform talk. This is the opposite, the antithesis of hot uniform talk. In fact, these get-ups, I will now say, and I had this feeling, this belief, I'm now going to say with strong conviction, I have identified the worst uniforms in all of sport, all time.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
You will not be able to talk
worst,
these.
Like the Seahawks lime green.
Nope.
No. Okay. Is this current?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna talk baseball. I'm down and out.
You are, aren't you?
I was
a series to the A's.
There's a reason.
And oh, is there really?
Like, well, if the narrative that Grimace sent the Mets on their way, this ended the season. It wasn't Grimace throwing out the first pitch for crying
meet
out loud
the Mets.
Yesterday.
Meet the Mets.
It's Blue Friday here in the sports bar.
She's talking to pitchers. You got to spit on that thing. She's talking to pitchers, Major League Baseball pitchers. You got to spit on that thing, Gino. Huck Tua.
Bring your family, bring your wife. That's the name of the song. We're going to have...
We'll get to We'll get some takes next, and we'll be joined.
They're pranking me. They're pranking
F,
me.
F. Michael F. Florio stops by the sports bar, talks some fantasy football in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Here on The Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.